Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have heard people say that if God is real and God exists, then why did God allow poverty, diseases to rule and reign on this earth? Why didn't God give us paradise on earth, where there is no poverty, where there are no sufferings? The world was like that. But when God created man in his own image. And when God created man in his own image, man is given the ability to have a free will. This free will allows man to make choices. God did not make man into robots. We are not like the animals. The animals are predisposed to behave in a certain manner. That is why even today, animals do not have a will of their own. Animals cannot sin. Animals' blood is without sin. And that's why in the Old Testament, God had chosen certain animals as types of Christ to be used as an example to teach us that there will be a Savior who will come where he will be without blemish, where he will be perfect to die on the cross for our sin. Because animals, they are not made in the image of God, but we are. And because we have the ability to make choices, and our first parent, Adam and Eve, represented all of humanity, you and I have no choice. This representative principle is around us. We live in a world where we live by representation. Our leaders of this country represent us. Your head of your home represents your home. And so when Adam and Eve represented us, given absolute total free will to make choices with a perfect mind, with a perfect body, the test was very simple. Do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that was found inside the midst of the Garden of Eden, which was their home. And in the midst of this garden, there were two trees. The tree of life, they were also not allowed to eat. If they passed the test, then they will be given permission by God to eat the tree of life, which will then give them eternal life. But they have to pass the test first. And this is known as the covenant of works. Now, this is found in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. The covenant of works, two parties were involved. If they pass, they will have eternal life. But if they fail, God warned them, you will surely die. And so in Genesis 3, the Bible describes the origin of bad things. So how did bad things come? When God created the world, it was very good. There was no sin. There were no bad things when God created all creation, including human beings. Perfect. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The word subtle there simply means cunning, in a good sense, because there was no sin. And animals cannot sin. So out of all the animals that God created to the devil, the serpent was the most appropriate animal for it to possess, to use it to deceive Eve. And the method of the deception continues to be the same because of its potency and its effectiveness. Don't attack the word of God directly, not yet. Attack the word of God indirectly, and the moment a human being accepts the indirect attack, then you launch your direct attack on God's word. Now, that's what he did. Yea, had God said to Eve. Now, where was Adam? We are not told. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's a subtle attack. And then the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Firstly, observe how she subtracted from God's word. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now she added to the word of God. In other words, even before she ate of the forbidden fruit, Eve had already sinned against God by tampering with God's word. She subtracted from God's word and she added to God's word. At the moment she did that, the serpent knew she got her. And so now the attack on God's word became frontal assault. The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, was what he said in verse 4. Now this is a direct assault on the word of God, because in chapter 2, verse 17, God said in the strongest Hebrew language way, thou shalt surely die. What it means here in the literal sense, if you would translate it in the literal Hebrew language, it means this: to die, you shall die. So using the same word twice, that is the strongest warning that you could ever give to someone. To die, you shall die. It means you shall surely die. That is a very correct way to capture the essence. And now the serpent used back the same word. To die, you shall not die. All he did was to insert the not in between the two verbs. To die, you shall not die. That's a frontal direct assault. He got her. And then what he did next was diabolical. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. Now this was the deception. Now what gods did Eve know? There were no gods in the Garden of Eden. There was no sin. So what idol was Satan talking about? It was not an idol he was referring to. What he was referring to was the one living and true God, Elohim, which means God. That's the Hebrew word for the word gods here. So when he said to Eve, ye shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil, was he telling the truth? He was telling the truth in a certain manner. In a way, yes, he was telling the truth. You will be like God. And all Eve knew was capital G God, Elohim. But his method of becoming like God was just simply knowing good and evil. What does he mean by knowing good and evil? Was he right? Was the serpent right? What does he mean by knowing good and evil? Because God seemed to concur with the serpent. You look at verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. So this has been the outcome. And true enough, Adam and Eve now knew good and evil after the fall. So was the serpent telling the truth? You'll be like God? Then why did the King James translate it as smoggy? Should not the King James translated the word Elohim as capital G? Because that's how Eve understood the use of the word Elohim when this was presented to her by the serpent. You will be like Elohim, because the only God she knew was the one living and true God. So in her mind, it was capital G. And I want to be like capital G because he is a good God. He is a wonderful God, isn't he? And that's exactly what we are told to be like today. Be like the one living and true God. Be more and more like Christ, and Christ is God. And to know Christ, to see Christ, is the same as knowing God and seeing God, isn't it? That's what Jesus says. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So it is correct to be like God, because we all are commanded to be like God today. And so what the serpent was presented to Eve was true, and yet it was not true. That's called deception. That's why it is so diabolical. What he meant was smoggy. You will be like God by disobedience. Today, you and I will be like God because of Christ and by our obedience. But here, he deceived her by telling her that you will be like Jehovah, like the one living and true God, if you were to disobey him. That's how deadly Satan was. And so the King James translators had to choose. Should they translate the word Elohim from the perspective of the serpent, which will be small g? Or should they translate it from the perspective of the receiver, Eve? It would be capital G, because in her mind, the only God she knew was Elohim, capital G. And so they had to make a choice, and they chose to translate it from the perspective of the speaker. In this case, it was the serpent. And so they used small g. And that was the temptation, and that was the deception. And so Eve saw, and it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and she desired it, and she took it, and she ate it. She sinned. However, because Adam was made first, Adam was the representative man, not Eve. That's why after Eve had taken, Eve is already a sinner. She was the first one to sin, but creation had not been plunged into sin. Bad things had not come into this world, not yet, until Adam sinned. We know this because of Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where the Bible said, because of the first Adam, sin came into this world, and with sin, it brought death to all humanity. So what is the origin of bad things? This is the origin of bad things. The disobedience of Eve, which in turn resulted in the sin of Adam, because when she offered the forbidden fruit to Adam, Adam had to choose. Should I obey God or should I obey my wife whom God gave to me? She obeyed the wife. And so now he ate. And the Bible said the moment he ate, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. How do we know that they were in total depravity now? How do we know that the bad things have already entered into all mankind? You look at the reaction and response. When they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden, this was the result and response. Before that, when they heard the voice of God, they will rush to God, and they can't wait to commune with their loving Heavenly Father because there was no barrier. Now, when they heard the voice of God, even before God confronted them, they hid. The fear of God now has already begun in their heart. In the bad sense, they hid from God in shame, in sin. Even before they were called to stand before the judge of all judges to give an account of what has happened, it's not the fear that they possess right now by hiding from God, a clear evidence that bad things had already entered into the heart of man. Men are now sinners through and through, total depravity, completely in sin now. In other words, death had already taken place. That's how bad things came about. Death had already occurred. In the Bible, there are three kinds of death. Spiritual death had instantaneously entered into the heart of Adam and Eve. Before that, they were not spiritually dead. Before that, they can commune with God without any barrier because there was no sin. But the moment that they sinned against God, they died spiritually. And in the case of Adam, he will live from the day he was created, 930 years, and after that, he will die physically. And during this time on earth, if Adam had not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, he will finally, ultimately, one day experience the second death, which is to be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. That is the second death. Three kinds of death in the Bible. And because of death, because of sin, death was the result. And from that point onwards, bad things have entered into this world. Diseases, bad things. Diseases are sent by God to remind us that we are all dying. Wickedness, evil, because of the wickedness and the evil heart that we have. Today, we read in the news of another shooting in America. A very uptown shopping center One gunman full of ammunition, he carried with him a lot of ammunition, went in and started shooting. Three people died. Two were victims. One was himself. He killed himself. And before that, many more kinds of shooting. Now you and I read in the papers in America where you have people going into children's school, shooting children. Why did they do this nowadays? America had always been a country full of guns. From the day that they left Europe and they sailed across the seas, landed in America, in what the church historian tells us, the Mayflower, a group of Puritans landed in America, and from that point onwards, they always had weapons. They use it to kill animals for food. They use it to fight against the Red Indians. It has always been a country of weapons. But we never had such kind of news, isn't it, in America. In the 1920s and 30s, we read of the gangsters. We read of the police versus the gangsters, the mobsters, because of the prohibition. They were not allowed to sell alcohol, and so a lot of them were making alcohol illegally to sell to the people. And so you have the gangsters fighting against the police, and that's where all the battles were. But we do not read of ordinary citizens, because they are angry with their employer, angry with their colleagues, angry for whatever reason, will go into schools, students shooting students, students shooting teachers, employees shooting their bosses. Where in the world did all this come from? Now, these are the bad things, isn't it? So two victims were just killed. The names were given. How were they related to the killer, the murderer? We do not know. So they try to find the answer. And so the government think that the solution is to take the guns away. They are never going to succeed in taking the guns away. It has been a country of weapons since the very beginning. It is their amendment right to carry guns. Unless you change the amendment, there is no way you can do that. You think that is going to be the solution? Take the guns away from them, reduce the kind of guns that they can buy. Don't let them buy automatic weapons. Let them buy only weapons that shoot one bullet at a time. You think that will solve the problem? That is not the solution. Bad things will continue to pervade this world, this earth of ours, because of this sin and death. And wickedness, sufferings, evil will abound. Might will always be right. This has always been the theme of every country on this earth, except one, Israel. But all other countries, might is right. That is the name of the game. Isn't that true? And so people all want to be mighty. How to be powerful? How to be mighty? Money. When you have lots of money, you are powerful because you can buy soldiers. You can buy people. And so people now all want to have money because with money, I control. At least I control my life. And if I have lots of money, I control the lives of others as well. And so that, with an evil heart, with that kind of power at our disposal, more bad things. Isn't that true? Lives are destroyed. Businesses are destroyed. People are hurt. You have drunken drivers. You have all the vices that will complicate matters to make bad things even far worse than we could ever imagine. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And then they blame God. If God is real, why can't we have paradise? It is not God's fault. It is our fault, and as long as we do not admit that it is man's fault, that we are the cause of the bad things on this earth, that is not going to be a solution. Unless you admit that it is your responsibility for the wickedness and the bad things that happen on this earth, man will never, never fix it. And you think that by just taking guns away, you're going to help? It will not. America is in this state because of sin, period. They don't want to admit it. Our world is in this terrible state. It is because of sin. This is the origin of the bad thing. So when God confronted Adam, when God came And God said to Adam, verse 9, where are thou? What happened? Where are you? You heard my voice. In the past, you came running, but now where are you? I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And then God said to him, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? You think God did not know? God knew, but God wanted Adam to say it out of his own mouth, to hear his own voice. And then the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. You see the thing that Adam did? He dared to blame God. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Do you know that this is a very good literal translation of the Hebrew words? The order of the words tell us where the emphasis is. And the emphasis is always in front. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. So God, it is your fault. No, actually, if you did not give me the woman, then the woman would not have given me the fruit and therefore the... You see? What are the people doing now? Blaming God again? It's still blaming God, isn't it? Still blaming God. That's the evidence. That is the evidence that we are the culprit. The sin that we commit may not be the same as Adam by eating the forbidden fruit because we are no longer in the Garden of Eden. It doesn't have to be the same kind of sin. Sin will still be sin. And the blame of God is a clear evidence that it is our fault. How did bad things come about? This is the origin, our fault. And unless you and I admit this, we are not going to fix it. We are not going to try to find a solution for it. And so, the Adam here blamed the woman, and then the woman blamed the serpent. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. So one after the other, keep on blaming, blaming, blaming. This is the origin of bad things. Now let us look at the definition of bad things from God's perspective. From verses 14 to 20, you'll find that bad things are divided into two dimensions. First dimension, verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So number one, look at the serpent crawling on the ground, eating dust. That is an evidence of what transpired in the Garden of Eden. So the serpent was not crawling on the ground, eating dust, when God first created it. Now, that's exactly what it's doing. So every time you see a serpent crawling, running out, crawling on the ground, very quickly crawling away from you, that is an evidence of what transpired in the garden. And then God said in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. From these two verses, we learn one thing. Bad things, number one, it's spiritual in nature. Spiritual in nature. What you see with your naked eyes, with these physical eyes, is only one part of it. There is another realm that is beyond our ability to see with our eyes, physical eyes. It is spiritual in nature. And the Bible tells us that in this world of ours, there will be divided two groups of people. I will put enmity between thee, that is the followers of the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So there will be two. Those who are followers of God and those who are the followers of Satan. That's how God looked at this world of ours. That was not the case before bad things came. But the moment bad things came, now please understand, the people behind the bad things is not the bird, it's not the fish, it's not the animal, it's not the beast in the jungle. The bad things here refers to us. And God tells us that from His perspective, this world of ours will now be divided into two groups of humanity. One group will belong to the believers. God said, between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There will be a woman whom God will send, who will be born of a woman. Now, this woman that we know now is called Mary. Mary will still be a sinner. But because the one who will be born through her is not from the seed of a man, it will be from the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, who will come upon her, and the child that is born to her is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus Christ will become a man. And that is the seed of the woman that is described here. And so all the followers of the seed of the woman, who is Jesus Christ, that means Christians, believers, they will continue to be at odds with the other, the seed of the serpent, the followers of Satan. This is the spiritual dimension that you and I must beware of. You have to understand that this world will forever be in battle. First, the battle is in the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm battle is for the souls of men, women, and children. Satan wants to see as many of men, women, and children die in their sin so that they will join him in hell and ultimately in the lake of fire. That's what he wants. That is his agenda. And so he will continue to use deception. He will continue to use all kinds of ways and means to hinder the other side, the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ, who will also do their utmost by the grace and mercies of God to tell the people that you don't have to die in sin and end up in hell. You can get yourself out of sin and death and hell. And therefore, this spiritual battle will continue as long as Satan is on the earth, as long as there is still sin and death on this earth. This battle in the spiritual realm will remain. So this definition of the bad things, one, invisible to our physical eyes. It is very real, and it is all around us. Second dimension of this bad things, verse 16 to 20, physical in nature. The curse upon the woman affected her body. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. So now there will be increased pain in childbirthing. Adam and Eve did not have any baby before the fall. The baby came after the fall. So there was no conception before there was sin. No record of it. But after the fall, then they had their first son, whom they named Cain. And when she gave birth to Cain, the pain was horrendous. It was not like that before. And that's why today, when women give birth, the pain is excruciating. I do not know, because I'm not a woman. I am just saying what mothers who have given birth said. Okay? And I'm also saying what the Bible said, and the Bible is not wrong. And so, mothers who have given birth, is it true? Now, of course, we try to negate the curse, right? And so, all the mothers who give birth thank the one who invented the epidural jab. Isn't it? And so now we put this injection, put this medicine inside the woman's body, and then when she gave birth, no more pain. True? Isn't that true? So it's going to be excruciating, very painful. That's good or bad? Very good. The pain is good to remind us of the fall. But of course, knowing sinful man, we try to eradicate all these that reminds us of the fall. And so the epidural jab is a very good invention. So we thought that. So if you are an obedient Christian and you are an obedient wife, what do you think you should do when you are about to give birth? Can you or can you not have the jab? Now the husband You don't complain so much. You watch and wait and see, huh? The second aspect of the curse upon the woman, thy desire shall be to thy husband and he shall rule over thee. The desire here now means you usurp the authority of the husband. So bad things in the home, conflicts, quarrels between husband and wife because of the curse. That's it. She will now want to dominate and then he will say, no, you cannot dominate. And so you fight. She says, I want to go this direction. He says, no, we go this direction. And so they fight. And so the quarrels are part of the bad things that have now come into the home. There was none of this. So now you have increased pain in childbirthing, a punishment upon the woman because of her deception, because she was deceived, and because of her sin. And on top of that, now God will bring turmoil, conflict in the home, the bad things that we experience in the home because of our fall, because of our sin. And now look at the punishment upon the man. And to Adam, God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. So for the man, it is not his physiological body that will be cursed because he doesn't give birth, right? So for him now, the Bible said it will be the ground that you're going to eat out of that will be cursed. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. Right now you are only allowed to eat herbs, not allowed to eat meat yet. After the flood in Genesis 9, then God gave them permission to eat meat. And when God gave them permission to eat meat, then God put the fear of man into the animals so that now animals will run away from man. That is for the beginning of man being called hunters. Okay? So only eat vegetable. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. In the Garden of Eden, where they were allowed to eat all the fruit trees, anything that God has created, it was easy. No sweat, as they say, right? Because everything was there. The mist come of the ground to water the ground. You just pluck. That was it. But now there will be thorns and thistles. And that's how we know that in the Garden of Eden, the first durian was without thorns. It was smooth like a pomelo. And then after the fall, the thorns came out. Right? Thorns and thistles. I'm joking, huh? Please, don't say that. The king of fruit was smooth like a pomelo, and then now you have all these prickly thorns. All right? These thorns and thistles are the weeds. Are the weeds that will make planting difficult. And so now man will have to work by the sweat of his brow. And just as the women invented the epidural jab to take away the pain, man invented air condition. And so now our work is no more sweat of the brow. It's very comfortable. Aircon car, aircon house, aircon office building. And then when you finish your work, aircon car, aircon home, aircon bedroom, or aircon again. No need to perspire. And if you want to perspire, we call it exercise. We purposely run to sweat. Right or not? So we also cheat, you know. So if your wife wants to give birth and wants to use the epidural jab, your husband better keep quiet. Because you use your aircon to know I have no sweat. So if she wants to use the epidural jab, you don't use aircon. Is that the reason? Of course not. Is that the explanation? Of course not also. But do you know that these are good for us? Imagine if Adam, who is now possessed with a sinful nature, he doesn't have to work hard to keep body and soul together. He will now have a lot of free time in his hands. And when you have free time in your hands, and then your heart is full of sin, what do you think you will be doing? You will be spending your whole life planning how to do more evil, isn't it? And so now when you are busy working hard in the field in order to get some food out of the ground to feed your body, to keep your body alive, then later on with their own families to feed the family, he will spend time working hard. He will have less time to sin. That's why it is good for men. This punishment upon men is good. This punishment upon the woman and the husband where they have tension in the home is also good. so that they will now turn to God, so that they will now turn to Christ. So the definition of bad things are two-dimensional. So the sufferings that we see on earth, the hard work, the labor, the toiling that we see on earth, where we have to work very hard, this is another evidence of our sin, of our sinful nature. And this is good for us, so that we will have less time to create and design evil. And even after all these that God has done, because man was still allowed by God to live hundreds of years in those days, and because men live hundreds of years, even though they have to spend a lot of time working hard to find food, they still have that residual amount of time to design and do evil. So much so that in 1,666 years after this, the world will become so evil and so bad that God said, I have to intervene. If I do not intervene, this world of bad things, of evil and sin, would have destroyed itself. And so when God said, I'm going to destroy this world by water, there were only 8 individuals. Noah and his family, out of the millions, if not billions, that were there. God wanted man always to be good. Bad things came about because of our sin. The origin is given to us. The explanation of the nature of these bad things are two-dimensional, spiritual as well as physical, also explained to us. And then finally, the cure for bad things. It doesn't have to be bad. What we are going through right now, everything that we call bad today, that we try to get rid of by all kinds of ways and means, by having money to buy ourselves out of trials, out of difficulties, we know that all these methods are futile because there is no way you can have enough money to buy away death. True? There is no way. The only way that you and I can get rid of hell and death and all these so-called bad things is to find the solution to the cause of it. What was the cause of it? Sin, isn't it? If you and I can find a way to get rid of sin, all these bad things will cease and they will turn into good. Do you know that? And it is not a figment of our imagination. It is true right now, immediately. Not after you die or after you go to heaven. Then bad things will begin to be no more, only good things. The moment you and I can get rid of the sin in your life and in my life, the bad things will cease. Do you know that? So-called bad things in inverted commas. Because all these things are put there by God to curtail man's sinful behavior and conduct. And that's why it is good. That's why it is in inverted commas. To curtail our sinful nature. But to curtail our sinful nature is not good enough. To curtail our sinful nature is not the same as the removal of our sinful nature. When the sinful nature is removed, then we are no longer under the bondage of sin. And in order to do that, all your sins and my sins have to be cleansed and washed away. But we cannot do it ourselves. And so God had to do it for us. And so you find from verse 21 onwards the solution, the cure for bad things. So you have the origin of bad things. You have the definition of bad things, two-dimensional, spiritual and physical. And now from verse 21 to 24, we have the cure for bad things. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. That is the key. Now, where did God get the coats of skins? That means there was a shedding of blood. Animals have to be killed. Your desire to clothe yourself using fig leaves will not do. That is just like a man trying to go to heaven by his good work. An animal has to die, blood has to be shed in order for you to cover your sin. That was the message. But an animal cannot cover my sin because I'm not an animal, I'm a human being. And so in order for my sin to be covered, that animal that is used here is a representation of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ has not come yet, God used certain animals. Remember, animals, they are not men. they do not sin, and therefore their blood is without sin. And so God used certain animals that he called clean animals, and they will be used by God throughout thousands of years as a representation of the blood of Jesus Christ, the man, the Son of God, who will become man. God himself take on the form of man so that he can die for man. And until that day comes, these clean animals will be what the Bible called the type of Christ, the representation of Christ. And so during the Old Testament, the people who are believers who understand this, who will kill the clean animals and the shedding of the blood of these clean animals, they know in the heart of hearts that one day there will be a future Savior who will die for them. And this animal who is now representing the Savior, whose blood is shed in place of the Savior's blood, is the blood that is now cleansing my sin. And that was the message that God gave to Adam. And that is the message that God is giving to us today. The only difference is for Adam and for all the Old Testament believers, they look forward to what Jesus Christ will do. For us today, we look back to what Christ has already done. That is the only way that your sins and my sins can be forgiven, and that's when the bad things will immediately become good. Do you know that? Get rid of sin. You and I cannot get rid of sin. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can do it. And this is what God has revealed to us in verse 21. The blood of the skin of these animals, the shedding of blood, to teach Adam and Eve only through the shedding of blood. That's how serious your transgression is. Someone has to die. If you do not have anyone dying in your place, then you and I will have to die for our own sin, and that death is eternity in hell. And in order to avoid that from taking place in your life, you have to turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. You may ask, why? Because when God sent Jesus Christ to become a man, to die for you and to die for me, God accepted what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. He lived a perfect life in obedience to all of God's law, which you and I cannot do. And then he obediently allowed himself to die in your place and in my place so that we do not need to die. And God demonstrated his acceptance of what Christ has done for you and for me by raising him from the dead on the third day. And by raising him from the dead, God demonstrated that death is now defeated once and for all. How is death defeated? Death is defeated when sins are forgiven. And that's why your sins and my sins can be forgiven through Jesus Christ. But you have to believe him. You have to accept him as your Lord and as your Savior. That is the only way that you can have a cure for the bad things in your life. And for the believer, the Bible tells us, God promised us, no more bad things can ever happen in the life of the believer. That is God's guarantee. That is God's promise. Do you know where that verse is found? Many of us who are believers, we know that verse, isn't it? It's a wonderful verse. The Bible says, for we know as believers that all things, including so-called bad things, will work together with what? Together with God's grace and God's mercies in our lives for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That is a description of believers. We love God. We have been called by God to salvation grace and salvation mercy. And that's why all things will work together for good. No more bad things can ever happen to God's children. If God's children are wayward, they disobey God, God will send chastisement to steer them back. And so that is good, to stop us from sinning, to steer us back to the path of holiness. And if you are a child of God, obeying the word of God, and you face adversities in your life, now God says, I want you to experience what it means not only to trust me in times of plenty, but also in times of adversity, so that your love and your relationship with God will be deepened and strengthened. That was exactly what happened to his servant Job. Before the adversities that afflicted Job in the loss of his health, in the loss of his children, in the loss of his wealth, Job said, I thought I knew God. But after all these trials and difficulties, trusting in the Lord, I now know that I have seen God. One step closer in his relationship with God. No more bad things The cure is Jesus Christ. The origin, our fault, our sin. So, do you still have bad things in your life? As a child of God, no more. Never. But as a sinner, still bound by sin, the only solution, the only cure for the bad things in your life, the diseases, the pain, the hurt, the death, is Jesus Christ. Come to Him and you will get rid of all the bad things because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead for your justification. You know why America is in such a terrible state? Where ordinary citizens are doing such horrendous, nightmarish things like shooting and killing people? Because they remove God and Jesus Christ out of their schools, out of the lives of their citizens. And when you take God and Jesus Christ out of the people's lives, what you have is total, absolute depravity. And this is the outcome. It's not taking away the guns that will solve the problem. It's to put God and Christ back into the society of America. Then they will now have the fear of God in their hearts. And when you have the fear of God in their hearts, they will not do things like this. You and I don't have God. Bad things will not only come to us. You will do bad things yourself. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, that we may understand that Thou art sovereign, and Thou hast revealed to us and given to us a solution to all the bad things that can afflict us as human beings. And that solution is none other than Thy only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us therefore, Lord, as Thy blood-bought children, to make sure of our salvation, to know that in Jesus Christ, all things will work together for good to those who love You, to those who are the called according to Thy purpose. And You have surely called us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. May we continue to trust You. May we have this deep assurance that as Your blood-bought children, nothing bad can ever happen to us. And may this assurance grant to us the peace of God which passes all understanding, that is able to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And we pray, Father, for some in our midst who may be experiencing great turmoil and difficulties in life. May Thou be merciful to whisper peace to such a soul, that this person may experience the forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ, so that this person may know that these bad things can be cured and be taken away only in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Help us, hear us, for Jesus' sake, in Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.